You're listening to a podcast from thisistheshow.co.uk.
Got you! Don't wanna know! This is the show! How the good birds go! Oh yeah!
I'm Andrew Moyer, and this is The Show. The podcast looks deep into the eyes of the Scottish music scene just to see who blinks first. In this edition, I am delighted to be joined by Mr. Chris Devotion, the driving force behind Chris Devotion and The Expectations, otherwise known as CDX. Their album, Amalgamation and Capital, made critical waves when it was released early this year, with Americana UK calling it brilliant and Skinny proclaiming that you might presume it's a greatest hits rather than a debut. To top that all off, Scottish music guru Vic Galloway said they are one of the bands to watch in 2012. If you want to catch them this year on the festival circuit, then you have plenty of chances. Before we hear about all that, if you want to get in touch for any reason, then you can email us at thisistheshow.co.uk, tweet us at The Show Podcast, or become my friend at facebook.com/thisistheshow. Now, this interview took place backstage at a very important showbiz bash, so there might be a bit of background noise, but it's still quality stuff.
This is The Show.
A lot of bands have obviously been one man very much at the front. You've got Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. You've got Lloyd Cole and the Commotions. Would you say you're very much the Huey Lewis to the Expectations News?
That's exactly what I'd say. Absolutely, yeah. You know, it's all about me. They're lovely guys. God bless them. But I'm the one that wants, you know, all the acclaim, all the ladies. And by ladies, I don't mean ladies. I mean women. And yeah, you know, I put my name on the front because I am that guy. I want to be that guy. I'm an arrogant prick.
The rest of the band all right with that?
Probably. I don't really think about them. No, they're fine. I mean, obviously that's a slightly jokey answer, but only slightly. Really, they bring a lot to it, but it is all my songs and it is all my direction and things like that. But equally so, I couldn't do it all myself. Those guys bring a lot to it, and a lot of like boring muso stuff that isn't exciting to talk about, so I won't. But there's things that they can do that I can't, or do better than I can do. And you need that. I think, you know, if you say guys like Bruce Springsteen and E Street Band, which we are very much a poor man's version of, if you hear his stuff without the E Street Band, it's good, but it's not as good. There's something missing, you know. You need to have the right collaborators and backing band, but it is mostly all about me.
Your debut album, Amalgamation and Capital, received rave reviews when it came out. Why do you think it resonated so well with critics?
Basically, because we're really good. That's the arrogant but correct answer. We're quite good at this, do you know what I mean? We spent a lot of time rehearsing the songs, and we picked a really good producer, a guy called Andy Miller, who's done Mogwai albums, and he's worked with Franz Ferdinand and all those sort of arty types, but he knows his stuff. He's a great engineer, so we went in his studio. So a lot of the it's basically a mix of our polishing the songs and you know, him knowing what he's doing. But yeah, I think we whittled it down as well from the 16 tracks on it, the last 36 minutes or something. But we whittled it down from about 30 tracks. So, you know, there was a lot of kind of work before we recorded it.
And obviously, I wouldn't say you're a veteran, but you've been around the Glasgow music scene for quite a number of years. Do you think everything has been leading up to this point?
Yeah. I've been in bands before, and it just hadn't quite worked out. And so, you take everything you learn from the bad experiences, much like love. You take the bad and move on. And so that's what's happened, basically. And we got, I got the other guys that played in the band, Colin Reed, Graham Christie, and Michael Wright, and it just worked. It fit, and you know, we released the album. A bit taken aback by some of the praise, but you know, now that I think about it, I think they're all right. Yeah.
So, now you are also, of course, signed to Our Melody Records. How much of a difference does that make, actually having a small label behind you rather than just going out on your own?
Yeah, it actually makes a huge difference in the sense that they've got a relationship with people, promoters, radio particularly. We have had a lot of radio play for this record. And that's, you know, the people that work at these, the producers and assistants and things, when they get something with a label they know and have played before, they're gonna look at it and get, at least give it that first listen. And they've released a lot of records. I mean, it's kind of staggering amount since it's essentially run out of their kitchens. They've done Cuddly Shark, Super Adventure Club, the Scottish Enlightenment, which I think is a great name for a rock and roll band. I really wish I'd thought of that one. The Hazy Janes, who are, you know, really sort of big band in Scotland, you know, comparatively. And there's something beginning with L from, I think they're from London. You know, really they've got quite a roster of acts. And so, you know, they kind of know what they're doing. It means I don't have to worry about things like barcodes and things like that. If anyone's thinking about releasing their own records, by the time you've done it, you will know more about barcodes than is strictly healthy. There's still all things like that, and they just dealt with all that. Their expertise, their knowledge about getting it to the right people, who to send it to, who they think will like it, makes a difference. But obviously, if we were shite, it would, you know, we'd get it listened to, they'd throw it out. But you know, when people hear it, they like it. So yeah, they're all right. They're not giving me any money, frankly. Like, I want this in the records. Their advance was, I think they took me to buy me a burger, and I think I still paid 50% of that bill. So frankly, I want a meal out of them.
So you are getting out on the road for the festival season. First up, I think, is the Tea Break stage at Tea in the Park.
Sunday the 8th of July, we're playing at Tea in the Park. We're on at 1:40 at the Tea Break stage. So if anyone's there and doesn't want to listen to, I don't know, McFly or somebody's going to be on one of the other stages, if on the off chance you don't want to see them present their great rock hits, why not come and see our band? But yeah, it's good we're doing that. And that was quite cool, because there's only 16 bands in Scotland get picked for that, and we're one of them.
A lot of bands have had their break there. I think Biffy Clyro, Paolo Nutini, of course, who I know you try to emulate step.
And almost every... I like new shoes. That's it, basically. That's how I try to emulate them.
So do you consider Tea in the Park a break, or is it just another gig for you in the band?
When you get Tea in the Park, it's a big deal, and it's a really big deal for your friends and family, because they think that you've suddenly become a quoted band. So there's that. That's a big deal. It's good because you get a chance to play a lot of people, and it's good because it makes other people look at you. I don't know what we'll get from the gig ourselves. You know, we'll play to some new people, maybe get some email addresses and, you know, offers of sex and fealty. But other than that, I don't know what the actual gig itself will do, but the fact that you're picked to play it, I think, can sort of give you a bit of a buzz in the industry. So basically, all that kind of boring industry stuff, it does make a difference. It's just a great thing. Like, it sounds like I'm kind of underplaying it, but we're really chuffed to play it, and we're really chuffed to be asked to play it. And it's going to be a great laugh, to be honest with you. So yeah, that's kind of why you do these things. It's a great laugh.
So in some ways, are you playing to a dual audience? You're playing to a fan base and trying to expand that, and also trying to get noticed within the record industry?
I think it's more, you play to the fan base for the gig, but then when people are looking to book other shows, they'll go, oh, Chris and Ocean of Expectations, what have they played? Oh, they've played Tea in the Park, they've played Wicker Man, they've played, you know, they've played Belladrum. And that kind of, other people like you. You know, it's kind of proving that somebody else can put up with you. It's like being married. You know, if you have that ring on your finger, it proves that other people, you know, can stand your shit. And that's what being on a festival bill kind of does. It for the wider populace, they go, oh, they might actually be all right. Rather than listen to themselves and make their own judgments, they need that stamp of approval. So you're not playing to the audience at the time, you're playing to the people that are there and are there to see a rock and roll show. But then after that, you know, Tea in the Park and things like that make a kind of... It maybe creates a kind of little wave which you can hopefully try and ride.
And Wicker Man, pretty exciting as well.
Twenty-first of July, we're playing on the 21st, which is the Saturday, and we're on about 6 or 7 o'clock, I think, for that one. So yeah, I mean that's brilliant. I've never been to, I mean I've been to Tina Park. I kind of know what to expect with that one, and I know it'll be a good laugh and everything. But I'm personally just kind of into seeing a different festival, which is, I think Wicker Man will be a great laugh. I know a few of the other bands that are playing it. Biz are reforming, if you remember Biz. I know them. Like the Holy Mountain guys that signed to Chemical Underground, I, you know, kind of know them to see things. So there's a few people there that'll, you know, be good to catch up with them, because you don't really, you know, see each other a lot when you're out playing gigs and things like that. But yeah, I've heard great things about Wicker Man. I'm real looking forward to it. And it should be. All these things are just going to be a blast. I mean, it's kind of hard to. The show part of it is kind of standard for us, and you're really looking forward to like any show because you just want to play in front of people. But that part of it kind of, that's a bit under your control. Everything else is just quite exciting to go and, you know, see other bands and, you know, go have a laugh and things like that. So yeah, that's going to be great. And I did also, I don't even know if we're meant to announce it, but we're playing Belladrum as well. That just got announced, we just got told that this week, and I said it earlier on, so might as well clarify that we're playing Belladrum this year. If somebody from Belladrum listens to this and we weren't meant to tell people, I'm really sorry, but you know, it's happened.
So following up a great album has often been a troublesome area for a number of bands. Is the second album on your mind already?
Yes, but it's not going to be troublesome. We're just going to knock out another classic. Yeah, no, I'll be fine. It's already probably half to two thirds written. The band know the songs. So it's just that kind of last maybe three or four songs that it needs. It's probably going to be a bit poppier. The last album kind of was a kind of mix between sort of poppier, really sort of hooky songs, and then there was a few kind of real sort of heavy rock songs. It's probably not going to be as many of the heavy rock songs on this one, but it's still going to be like super fast and punky. I just mean less of the kind of heavier stuff. It's still going to be kind of Clash sort of punk kind of, you know, but it's still with hooks and things like that. So yeah, but it's one of these things. I don't know when it's coming out. We have to get this album sort of toured and stuff over with, and we're doing we've got a whole host of dates in August up north as part of the Our Melody tour. We're doing Aberdeen, Elgin, somewhere near Elgin, a lot of really ballad places. I'm a city boy, I don't really know. Go to the Our Melody website, ourmelody.com. But yeah, we're playing to a lot of out the way places, and I'm going to be really freaked out because there'll be lots of nature and fresh air and all the things that I hate.
But obviously it's a great opportunity to play different places and actually get out on a proper tour, as opposed to going between Glasgow, Edinburgh and usual Scottish cities.
No, it's mainly I'm just really upset about the nature aspects of it. That's the, you know, I'm not going to enjoy it at all. No, that'll be a good laugh. Yeah, it's good. I mean, we are doing one show in Glasgow, and then we're doing Aberdeen, and then we're two places further north. So we're doing sort of four shows in a row. We're hoping to get back up to Inverness September, October. So, you know, we've got the festivals. Oh, thanks for the applause. That's great. So yes, we've got in July we've got Tina Park, Wicker Man at the end of July. Beginning of August we've got Belladrum, and then middle of August, I think it's like the 8th or the 9th, we start the Our Melody tour. And Our Melody are doing a whole bunch of their bands, many of whom I mentioned earlier on. They're doing different legs of it. So we're doing like four dates. There are a few bands doing other dates and things like that as well. So I think it's about two or three weeks of dates with different bands popping in and out at different stages. So that'll be really good. I think we're also in talks to maybe do a headline show in Glasgow again, probably September, October. That's all stuff we can't talk about at the moment. It's really dull. You always go, don't talk about these things, and we're going to get sorted. So yeah. Bunch of things happening, basically, some of which I can't tell you about, which is really uninteresting. There's a lot of other things I can't tell you about as well. Should we not talk about those?
No, let's talk about those.
Okay, cool.
But are you finding in general a lot more doors are opening? Do good reviews actually bring that? Does a fan base bring that? Or
yes, yeah, you do need a bit of press, I think, to kind of play outside your hometown. For us, I mean, we've played more shows outside of Glasgow than we've played in Glasgow. We've only played a handful of shows in Glasgow. And, you know, since the albums came out, we've played. We've only played London, sort of down south. We had a couple of kind of offers, but it just didn't work out schedule wise. But so we played London. But in Scotland, we've done Aberdeen, Edinburgh a couple of times, Inverness. You know, we're doing all these other ones. We're going up again for August. Yeah, just a whole bunch of shows in Scotland and different places. So that's quite cool, you know. And I think the press aspect of it helps. I think you do need to have a fan base. You need to have people that dig you. But at the same time, if one of those people that digs you happens to be, you know, a guy who writes for a fanzine or, you know, does a podcast, do you know what I mean? That's all the better. Other people might hear you. Other people might go, I'll check them out. And then they make their own decision. Effectively, it's just getting people to the stage where they can make their own decision about you. All of these things, like playing a festival, is to let people hear you and go, I like them. I'm not going to torrent their album. I'm going to pay the £7 off Bandcamp. You know, that, you know, or go see them at a show and offer them drugs. You know, any of these sort of, these are the things that we essentially get in a band for. So yeah, it does help. I think if, you know, it sometimes ridiculously, some bands ask me for advice, which is hilarious. But when they do it, as always, you need to rehearse to get yourself good enough to play shows, is the first thing. Once you're good enough to play shows, you need to be good enough to get it on some sort of demo or a single, and then from that will get you better shows or shows at the first, and then if it's good enough, it'll get you some good reviews. The good reviews will then get you further shows again, because people want to have things to put in the poster. They want to have, you know, this band is really good, The Skinny, you know. Then it gives you that opportunity to go and play other things.
And you've mentioned that in some ways it's a lot like a relationship or a marriage. How hard is it to actually keep a band together? I know you guys have obviously got full-time jobs and lives on top of that, and it's a big commitment of time.
It is a big commitment. It is a lot like a marriage in that we hate each other and there is no sex. But I mean, I think it does. I don't want it to turn into basically some guy in a band moaning about how rubbish it is to be in a band. But if you get a lot of people in bands together, that's all they do. They just moan and whine about it. But it's great. It's a brilliant laugh. It's a right old laugh. But there's a lot of hard work. You know, we're rehearsing every week. More than that, a lot of times. You have to practice. You have to pay for all these things. Practicing. I haven't been on holiday, as far as I can remember, to be honest, for the last 5 years, because I've always been in bands. And you know, you can't go away in July with your bird at the time, because you know, you might get to play Tea in the Park, Worker Man and Belladrum, you know. So there's loads of things like that. There are personal sort of sacrifices, but you shouldn't ever think that, you know, you shouldn't really moan about it, because you then get to go and play awesome shows and people come up and offer you, you know, drugs and sex.
It's great. Do they ever offer you that?
I've been offered them both separately, never at the same time.
This year?
You know, exactly. We're moving up in the world now. And he was a lovely chap, so I'm not going to lie.
So what exactly will it take? What's the end game for you? What's the next level?
I guess there's some Johnny Sax music going on in the background. This is awesome. I really hope you catch some of this. I feel that I should be creeping around somewhere with this one. The next level, it's a constant process, and you should never really be happy. I think that's most bands that I've been before, and a lot of other bands that I've seen. A lot of people are happy with, you know, like, what's the best way to put it? No, let's put it in the shadiest way. That's the thing. Think about the best way. Let's put it in the shadiest way possible. Guys are happy for some really, you know, drunk girl to come and snog them in the dressing room, and they think they've made it. Which, you know, we're not against that necessarily. But that's not why you should be writing songs and releasing albums. It should be as pretentious and fucking wanky as it sounds. It should be about the art and trying to be, as you know, the best that you can be. And you find, you see a lot of bands who get like a modicum of praise in the local scene, and you know, they will get a girl will come up to them and be like, oh, you're really interesting and cool because you play guitar. And if anyone never knows any guitar players or musicians, you'll know that's not the fact. Most of us are incredibly, dreadfully dull, solipsistic morons. apart from me, but for the most part, and people just kind of get comfortable with that level of it's not even notoriety, because it's a really sort of low level of local scenester infamy, and they get, you know, they get to play a show and their friends come around and tell them they're amazing and things like that, and so you've kind of constantly got to be pushing for the next thing, and I think that's, all of us aren't interested in any of that, really. We're not interested in people, you know, our friends telling us that we're great, as though they do, because we are. You know, it's all about, right, that album, I mean, that album's over, we're thinking about the next one. As soon as we play, you know, Tina Park is the next gig, as we speak. We're all about rehearsing and just getting that to be the best show it can be. And the second that finishes, you know, it's the one game at a time. Classic football cliche. And I think a lot of bands don't have that, because you can get comfortable, you can get stuck in a rut, playing in Glasgow and maybe go the odd time to Edinburgh. And on the other side of it, it is quite expensive to go on tour. I mean, we went up to a place called Lochinver, and the guy paid us a lot of money, but the hire of the van and the petrol money to go all the way up to the ridiculous north of Scotland, it was a great show, we loved it. We didn't really make a lot of money from it, but we also know those are the sort of shows you've got to play if you're serious about it, and going out to different places and maybe not making a lot of money out of it, but it's like, you know, it's, you're building your business, for want of a better phrase, whereas a lot of people are happy just to be local heroes and get a wee, you know, get some rubbish goth chick to, you know, give them a quick tug in a terrible toilet in some awful dive bar, and, you know, we want to have slightly better toilets where we go. That's our main goal in life. And obviously all those other artistic aspirations, which is the real reason we do it.
So playing festivals gives any bands an opportunity to play a bigger crowd than I imagine they'd be used to. Are these going to be the biggest crowds that you've played?
It depends if people turn up. Yeah. I don't know. I'm slightly unsure, because at all these things, I never go in the new band tents. But if I was going now, I would definitely come and see us. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be a big crowd. I mean, there will be a crowd at every one of our gigs. We've never played a show where nobody's turned up, and we've played things. We did this thing called Go North, which is a kind of industry showcase event, and it was pretty funny, because, and I say funny, it's not really. We set up our gear, and I turned around to you know, press a button on my amp, and when I turned back, you know, it was empty when I turned round, and when I turned back there was 50 people there. We've never played an empty show. I assume this is going to continue, and it could be the biggest crowd you've ever played to, but I don't know, because we have played, you know, we've sold out like sort of 100 capacity venues and things like that, but it'll definitely be the crowd we'll have played to where probably nobody knows us. So if we get, you know, 100 odd people coming that don't know us, that would be amazing. But if there's one person there, that's alright as well. Do you know what I mean? We just want to play people, and, you know, we're not going to lose any money out of it. That's great. You know, you want to be ambitious about it, and you want to play the biggest crowd you ever played. But sometimes it's just like playing a room of 30 people, and 30 of them loving it, and that's spent playing a room of 100 people, and, you know, them thinking you are a bunch of dicks.
So is there a track that you would like to play out on this podcast to share with your many, many fans?
Yes. Okay, well, how's about this? I think we're going to have a song for free download from our Bandcamp called The Girl Is Leaving, for festival season, so people can download it for free. So I'm not really a technical person. We're going to have this for free download. It's called The Girl Is Leaving. It's going to be available at some point in the next week from when we're recording this, from chrisdevotion.bandcamp.com. So www.chrisdevotion.bandcamp.com. You can go to chrisdevotion.com and press the bit that says music, and that'll take you there. We're just an incredibly sensibly laid out website. So we're going to have that for free download. So why don't you play that song, And then if once you get your rocks off to it, imaginary listener that I'm talking to, then you can go to our website and download it for free, and then you can think it's amazing and then buy our album and then come to our shows and tell us how amazing we are and give us drugs and sex and you know, all that sort of stuff, or just come to the show. We're kind of probably just as happy with that.
Chris Devotion, thank you very much.
Cheers, Nick.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back again with another show very soon, but in the meantime you can check out our website at thisistheshow.co.uk or subscribe on iTunes.